You know, I absolutely love this time of year more than any other time of the year. I love this time of year because it's supposed to be very cold. Supposed to be. Now, it's chilly outside now, and I like it. And those of you who don't like it, I'm not sorry. I like the cold. When I was a child, almost every year it would snow in upstate of South Carolina in January, either right before my mother's birthday, which was January 21st, or right after her birthday. So I love January. I love this time of year because I get to eat my most favorite meal on the earth, and that's New Year's Day. And those of you who are of Yankee persuasion, you have to down here in Georgia in the lower states. You have to eat ham, black-eyed peas and rice, or Hoppin' Johns, whichever you prefer. But customary, it's black-eyed peas because I'll just ask me about it later. I'll tell you. Greens. And we don't, Dan, you all right? Don't be shaking your head. Collard greens or mustard greens. I mix collards, mustard, and kale. Okay, you can, whatever you want to do. And cornbread. In my house, it's jalapeno cheddar cornbread. All right? That's good stuff. And, you know, back in the day, we used to have a little bit of fat back on the side. Right, Mr. White? Hey. Good time of year. I love this time of year because it seems like it's a time of reflection of what you've lost right before you start fresh a brand new year. I love this time of year because we can start off a day on a clean slate. Clean slate. But you know, as I started preparing this message last week, Monday and Tuesday, I have to help y'all to understand something. And you know what I'm getting ready to say is the truth. We look at the new year as a time to put the past behind us and move forward. But church, as Christians, we can do that every single day. We don't have to wait until the new year. We as Christians can do that every single day. So let's look at 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at two different scriptures this morning. But let's look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. Excuse me. Chapter 1 verse 5. I don't know what I just said before. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. Now this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Does that mean on New Year's Eve, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness? No. Does that mean just in January? No. Does it mean just one time a week? That must be Sunday. If we'll confess our sins on Sunday, preacher gives an altar call, and that's what he gives the altar call for, so we can come down and ask him to forgive us of our sins, and then that day he'll cleanse us. No. This is every single day. That's a good God, isn't it, Bob? I can't serve God. It's too hard. No, it's not. He knows that you're going to mess up. His word says, if a man says that he is without sin, he is what? A lie. He's lying to himself. You're a lie. God knows you're going to mess up. Some of us more than others, Colin, right? He knows we're going to mess up. So he puts a clause in the contract of salvation. He says, listen, Brandon, you're going to mess up. But I love you so much, I'm going to make it easy for you. All you have to do is confess your sins, and I'll forgive you. We can move forward. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins right now. At the very onset of this message, God, I'm not perfect. I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins. I pray that you would give me what I need to preach this message in a way that would be heard by your people. God, these are your people. Lord, I pray that you would help them to open their eyes and their ears and their hearts. All those who've come today have come with the intent to feel something from you and to hear from you. And God, this is the message that you want them to hear. Lord, we praise you for it. Settle us, Lord. Settle our minds. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts that we are receptive to your message. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, do you know what this scripture that I just read, do you know what it really means? Can I tell you that, here again, I said it a second ago, I said it in my prayer, I said it a few minutes ago, that in 2015, Miss Dale, this is probably going to surprise you. I know it'll surprise you. Miss Mary might surprise you. In 2015, I wasn't perfect. I wasn't. Will, I know you're just getting to know the family, and you probably have been around me and said, boy, he's perfect. No, I'm not. Just keep that thought in mind. This past year, Amy and I got into a few arguments. And, you know, in those arguments, I probably said some things, Mr. White, I shouldn't have said. Yeah, you know how you get in the heat of the argument, and I mean, women, they'll cut you to the core. They go straight for the jugular. They do. I mean, most of the time, men, we're just, we don't want to cross the boundary, but women go straight for the, I mean, they cut your throat. And then you will say something, and you're just like, man, I shouldn't have said that. Now, they don't ever say that. Yeah, I don't think women ever have that thought, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said this and that. But there was, we had a couple arguments, and I probably said some things I shouldn't have said. Now, I have apologized to my wife and asked God to forgive me. And I love my wife more in 2016 than I ever did in 2015. Amen? And we're going to get to that point here in a few minutes. But, I wasn't perfect. Kim, just a couple weeks ago, somebody came to the door, and the dog was just going crazy. And I tried to get out the door, and the dog was trying to get out the door, and I kicked the dog. Look at Angie. Yeah, I did. The dog went, I pushed him right, Brody. I just kicked him in the bottom. I didn't kick him hard. Mom didn't like it. She didn't like it, but I kicked the dog. Bill, I'm not perfect. Listen to me. If you are sitting here today, and you're listening to this message, I want to give you some top secret FBI, CIA information. Listen, the president knows, he knows this. Military strategists know what I'm getting ready to say right here in this church. I might get in trouble, I might get arrested. You were not perfect in 2015 either. You were not. You weren't. Donna, I don't know what you're laughing about back there, but we can have conversation. No, I'm just kidding. Donna's really enjoying this. None of us were perfect in 2015. Can I tell you that I had some thoughts that ran through my mind that were not nice thoughts at all? Really? I mean, on a day-to-day basis, throughout the year, the entirety of the year, and I'm not talking about all day, every day, but things happen in our lives. Somebody cuts us off. Somebody says something or does something in our life, and we're just like, well, hey, I tell you what, wait till he goes to sleep. Hey, Donald, wait till he goes to sleep. I'm going to sneak out the house. I'm going to cut his tire. Or, what it is that's not Preacher Kyle talking. That's not Preacher Kyle. You know who that is? That's Kyle. That's Kyle talking. I got his license plate number. I'm going to call Trey. I'm going to track that dude down, and I'm going to fill his car with Jell-O and crickets I'm going to do something, and, you know, we have these thoughts, don't we? Don't be looking there, I don't have those. Scripture says you are lying. Lying. Yes, you have those thoughts, but can I tell you why I didn't go through with those thoughts? As soon as I had them, the Holy Spirit of God said, hey, that's a good idea, but you can't do that. That's what you used to do, but you can't do that anymore. You mean to tell me you as a preacher have thoughts like that? Yes. Yes. Hey, well, I could go forward, but I'm not. I'll just leave it alone right there. Yes. But the Holy Spirit of God says, no, son, you can't do that anymore. Church, I do not feel like I prayed enough, read my Bible enough, or witnessed enough to others in 2015. I sinned against God. What can I do now? What should I do now? Look at 1 John again, verse 9. If, that's a contingent word, is it not? That means that we are going to have to do something. When we see that word if, that impairs us. It stops us and says, look, you know, you're going to have to do something here. If we confess our sins, He, being Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from a little bit of unrighteousness. That's right, all righteousness. Do you know the difference between us and God? When somebody does us wrong, we'll see, okay, we'll do this right here. And this is funny because we did this past Christmas in the car riding with my in-laws. This is great. My dad-in-law sits in the back seat. Are we recording? And when my mother-in-law's driving and she does something, he'll say, oh, you know, they're stopping. And I'll look at Randy, I'll say, that's a one. That's a one. You better not get a three. She'll kick you out. You're gonna be walking. You're gonna be walking, dude. Hey, listen, that's what we do. When somebody does us wrong, when that professor gives us a pop test and we're not prepared for it, hey, she does it again. You wait. I know where she lives. Isn't that what we do? Is that what God does? No. Listen, He says, I will forgive you of all, everything. Not in partiality, but in full, in totality. He will forgive. And it's so simple. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Now, you better say it with all sincerity. You better be for real. But if you're real with God, guess what? God's real with you. And He made it so simple. Who makes it hard? We do. That's exactly right. Look at, right now, I want to share with you some scripture that I believe, if we follow, will transform our church this coming year. Now, first of all, do you want that? Do you want to feel the presence of God in a way we haven't in any other year at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church? Do you? All right, well, I want to hear some pages turning then to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Remember the prisoner as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. Marriage must be respected by all, and marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge immoral people and adulterers. Your life should be free from the love of money. Be satisfied with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we may boldly come, boldly, and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As for you, fully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their truth. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. Church, as we look at this, we can look at this and see instructions. We see instructions from the writer of Hebrews. Now, do we know who wrote the book of Hebrews? No. There's a lot of people who give credit to Paul. I myself, personally, believe the book Luke wrote the book, because linguistically and so many things that are said match with the book of Acts and the book of Luke. That's just my opinion. But listen, this author, what he has written, is considered by many scholars to be the Magna Carta of the New Testament. At the closing of this book, what he's writing is just unbelievable. We see that he gives some final exhortation to all believers. Church, that is us. And if we'll listen as a church, we will without a doubt benefit this year. Are you ready? Are you ready to listen to his final exhortations to benefit for the church? Are you ready? I don't think they're ready. Are you ready? Okay, thank you. Now you're ready. Number one, he said, let brotherly love continue. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Remember when Jesus was approaching, he said, somebody asked him, what's the greatest commandment of all? Well, everybody knows what the greatest commandment of all is, isn't it? It's don't murder. Don't mistreat your brother. Don't do that. Everybody knows what the greatest commandment of all is, don't you? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? The writer of Hebrews saying, listen, guys, final exhortation. I want you to pay attention to me. You want to thrive? This is how you're going to thrive. Let brotherly love continue. He says, I like what I see, what's taking place. Let it continue. Love on each other even more. Even more. I love our church because our church looks